Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. We'll be using this also as the passage in which I will be drawing the message for this morning as we look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's look to God's Word. Hear the Word of God. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' And so he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. The parable of the Good Samaritan is probably one of the most well-known parables that Jesus gave during His earthly ministry, as He spoke not only to the multitude, but He also spoke to individuals in parables. However, has also been one of the most misquoted parables, as with many of His other sayings. Many people have used it to teach that being good to others will gain them entry into heaven. They say your good works will earn you a place before God. Here, look at, here's the parable, the Good Samaritan. Isn't that what it was teaching? They say that good works will earn you a place before God. This was the thinking of the Jews of that day. But it's also the thinking of many, many people of this day, even those who say they are trusting Christ for their salvation. And yet they still seek justification, their justification, by keeping the Old Testament law or by doing good works, and thereby nullifying the grace of God. But is that what Jesus was really teaching when He used the parable to answer the lawyer's question? Jesus was confronted many times by self-righteous people, mainly Pharisees and scribes. But there were others who sought to justify themselves to Jesus. They were continually testing Him to see if He would give an improper answer to their question so that they could accuse Him of blasphemy or of being a false teacher, and thus prove He was not the Messiah. Other questions were meant to justify themselves to Him. They wanted to prove themselves as being good people. He spoke against the Pharisees and those who sought to only keep the outward requirements of the law. Those who interpreted the law in such a way that they always looked righteous, who refused to see sin in themselves, but eager to see sin in others. As a result, the Jewish leaders were oppressive, as with many other Jews, they used the corrupted view of the law as a means to justify their injustices and a lack of compassion toward others in need. In the passage before us this morning, this was also the case, as we will see. The parable of the Good Samaritan not only answered the obvious question that the lawyer asked in verse 29, it also served to convict the lawyer of what kind of person he was, and to point out that he did not fulfill the law as well as he thought he did, and is required by God to inherit eternal life. The parable of the Good Samaritan ought to also cause us to stop and consider the question, what kind of neighbor am I? Especially as one who professes faith in Jesus Christ. Am I looking to my good works, as this lawyer was, for my justification? There are three parts to the passage before us this morning. The first part is found in verses 25 to 29, consisting of a conversation between Jesus and, quote, a certain lawyer, end quote, which sets the stage that leads up to Jesus giving the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is found in verses 30 to 35 and is the second part of the passage before us. And then the third and final part of the passage consists of the conclusion and application that Jesus makes in verses 36 and 37. We begin at verse 25, where we read of a lawyer who stood up to ask Jesus a question. We read from this verse that the lawyer was not asking his question with an honorable intent, but with the intent to trip up our Savior, to test Him, as it were, as it says in the verse. He asked Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In asking this question, it was perhaps hoped that Jesus would give an opinion that was contradictory to the law, or that he would in some way stumble over the question, being confused. But Jesus didn't give his opinion, nor did he stumble over the question. But he answers the question with a question in verse 26, asking, "What does the law say?" See, Jesus answered the lawyer in a way that communicated to the lawyer that Jesus was in submission to the law. He wasn't above the law. He wasn't going to give an answer that was just his opinion. He wanted to give an answer that God gave concerning the matter. And so he went straight to the final authority on the subject. And so in his pride, this lawyer, who considered himself an expert in the law, was eager to respond. We read in verse 27 that the lawyer summarized the law, just as Jesus had done in previous passages and in previous times, with the two great commandments, which are found in Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. The lawyer said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." The essence of what was being said here is that if a person has for his or her object of love God and his neighbor, then that person will inherit eternal life. And God being the object of a person's love, he must love God with the whole faculty of being, with every aspect of his person, that is, with with all his heart, with his complete and undivided heart, with his complete and undivided soul, with his complete and undivided strength, and with his complete and undivided mind. And a person's neighbor being the object of his love, he must love his neighbor as himself. That is, he must love his neighbor to exactly the same extent and with the same quality of love for his own person. In fulfilling the requirements of the law to inherit eternal life, there's no wiggle room to fudge here and there. falling short of complete and perfect obedience to the requirements of the law results in not inheriting the eternal life. Giving it your best efforts and falling short will not be acceptable to a holy God. Perfection is required. Perfection is demanded. Without complete and perfect obedience to the law of love, there is no hope of eternal life. We can't give it our best shot. It ain't good enough. Indeed, we read in Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And it's with this understanding that Jesus responded to the lawyer in verse 28 of our text in Luke, saying, "You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live." Jesus was saying that if the lawyer would fulfill these two commandments perfectly and completely, he would indeed inherit eternal life. And this is what the Lord meant in the Old Testament when he told Moses in Leviticus 18:5. He says, "You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am the Lord." If a person lived all his or her life in perfect obedience to the law, as summarized in the two great commandments, the law of love, then he or she will inherit eternal life. And it is evident from the lawyer's response that he thought that he had fulfilled the law in that way, perfectly, completely. And thus he thought he would be an heir of eternal life. Indeed, he saw no sin in himself, because he sought to justify himself before Jesus and those around him. In verse 29 of our passage in Luke, we read, "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Now the question arises because there were at that time various interpretations of what it meant, or what "my neighbor" meant. Who's my neighbor in the second great commandment? There were basically three popular notions of that, of what neighbor meant at that time. It was understood to mean either an Israelite or a Pharisee, which was popular among the Pharisees, or among the Qumran sect near the Dead Sea, those only within their particular group. Whichever view was held, those who fell outside of that particular group of neighbor, it was okay to hate them. It was okay to treat them poorly, to oppress them, to lie to them, to do whatever you wanted to do with them. It was okay. You didn't have to love them, because it fell outside of their definition of what neighbor was. This was particularly evident among the Pharisees which came out in John 7:49, when the Pharisees accused the Jews in the temple of being ignorant and accursed. As far as the lawyer is concerned, he most likely held that the neighbor meant an Israelite, and that it was okay to hate all others, especially the Samaritans. But the lawyer had no idea where Jesus was going in the conversation. Indeed, he thought he was in control. He thought he was going to be directing Jesus in the path, in the conversation, down that path that he wanted him to go, justifying him before men. And this is what self-righteous people seek to do, just as Jesus said in Luke 16:15, where he said, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart." Blinded by his own self-righteousness, the lawyer was attempting to justify himself before men to quiet his conscience and at the same time embarrass Jesus. But this would come to no avail. On the contrary, Jesus, knowing the heart of the lawyer, would cause his conscience to be convicted of sin and further disturbed. He would be proven a guilty sinner, just like the rest of mankind, which would result in the lawyer being embarrassed. Not Jesus, as he answered the lawyer's question, with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Which brings us to the second part of the passage before us this morning. In verse 30, the parable of the Good Samaritan begins. Jesus relating that to the lawyer and those around him that were listening. We read of the man who encountered misfortune while he was traveling the road. There's a road between Jerusalem and Jericho. I've been on it. And until just recently, the road between these two cities was windy and quite treacherous. It was a fairly desolate area of mountainous travel. And it was an easy area for robbers to hide to lay in wait to attack their victims. And then they would disappear again into the various caves that were throughout that region, waiting for their next victim. It was on this road that we find that the man in the parable becoming the victim of robbers, of thieves, who took all that he possessed, including his clothes, and stripped him naked. Then they beat him until he was half dead, perhaps unconscious, leaving him to die of his wounds and exposure to the harsh elements. In verse 31, we see that it was in this bloodied and unconscious condition that a priest found the man when he happened upon him as he too traveled along this very treacherous road. But when the priest saw the man, instead of having compassion on him and giving him aid, he moves to the other side of the road and continues to walk along past him. Jesus doesn't give a reason as to why the priest passed by. Probably because there is really no good reason to do that. But whatever the reason was, it was obvious that there was fear involved, apathy, but more to the point, a hardened heart that led the priest to heartlessly leave the man to suffer in his misfortune. And then in verse 32, when the Levite saw the man, he too walked right past the man laying there on the opposite side of the road. And the same could be said of the Levite concerning his reasons for leaving a man on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere to die a slow, painful death. It was sinful neglect for not wanting to get involved. Not to mention, it was a violation of God's law. Indeed, it was talked about in Micah 6:8. The Lord rebuked the Israelites. They were all hot on the ceremonies. They went to temple every Sabbath day. They made their sacrifices. They kept the outward ceremonies of the Old Testament, but they lacked justice and mercy. These two characters, the priest and the Levite, were faithful in outward ceremonies and the keeping of the law, but they had no mercy. And that did not please the Lord. It never has, and it never will. And then a Samaritan comes along. He's traveling along the road. He comes upon the man. Surely he won't stop. There's no way the Samaritan would stop to help a Jew, since neither the Jews nor the Samaritans would have anything to do with the other. But that wasn't the case with this Samaritan. He truly expressed the meaning of love your neighbor as yourself. When the Samaritan saw the man lying on the side of the road, all bloodied from a thorough beating, half dead and naked, he had compassion on him. His heart went out to him in sympathy and pity, which drove him to go over there and give him aid. He didn't do it because it was a commandment of God. He did it from a heart of compassion, mercy. And so let us observe what the Samaritan did for the man that truly made him a neighbor. expressing the kind of love to one's neighbor as required under the law. Beginning with verse 34, we read that he went to the man and gave him first aid, poured wine on his wounds to help mitigate any infection that may come about. He poured oil on the wound to soothe it, to relieve some of the pain that might be experienced. And then he bandaged up the man to keep the wounds clean. Next, the Samaritan took him to a safe and warm place where the man could recover from his wounds. And so the Samaritan put him on his animal, most likely a donkey. And the Samaritan, walking alongside the donkey, took the severely beaten man to the nearest inn where he'd take care of him that evening. Then the next morning, the Samaritan did something that really set him apart as a neighbor. He gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, which would cover several nights of stay for the man, and then promised the innkeeper he would return and repay whatever was necessary to cover any extra costs that the innkeeper may incur in caring for the man as he recovered from his wounds. It is evident from the Samaritan's actions that he illustrated what is meant when we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. The one question that perhaps kept coming to his mind was, what would I like for someone to do for me if I was in this man's situation? This question most likely rang in his head as he moved to each new level of care for the man, which distinguished him as being a true neighbor to someone in need. This leads us to the third part of our passage this morning and the conclusion of the conversation between Jesus and the lawyer. Jesus asked the lawyer in verse 36 of our text, "So, which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" It was an obvious question, but Jesus asked so that the lawyer would be led to state himself that which was contrary to his false notion of what a neighbor meant. It would have a more effective impact on the lawyer if the lawyer came to that conclusion himself than if Jesus had simply spoon-fed him the answer. And the lawyer came to the obvious conclusion that the one who was neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves was the one who showed mercy. The Samaritan was a neighbor to the one the Lord had placed in his path who was in need. Not only did Jesus answer the lawyer's question, but in doing so, he also pointed out the lawyer's sinful neglect in fulfilling the law. And so when Jesus tells the lawyer in verse 37 to go and do likewise, he implied that the lawyer had not fulfilled the law as he thought he had done. And rather than justifying the lawyer before men, Jesus declared him guilty under the law. But isn't that the state of all men everywhere since the fall of Adam when sin and death entered into the world? This goes back to the answer to the original question the lawyer asked, which is what Jesus was leading him back to with the realization that it is impossible for man to live in perfect obedience to the law. Hence, Jesus had to use a parable to illustrate his answer to the lawyer. He certainly couldn't point to a real person. That'd be impossible unless he was pointing to himself. We read in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, that no man is justified under the law. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that we learn that the carnal mind, that is the unregenerate man, is not able to obey the law, to obey it perfectly and completely. Thus we are to come to the conclusion that we do not and cannot continue in the law and are therefore cursed under the law, as we learn from Galatians 3:13. So Jesus was not speaking deceitfully when he told the lawyer that if he kept the law, he would live. The lawyer needed to come to his own conclusion that he was not able to fulfill the law in order to inherit life, which is why Jesus used the parable of the Good Samaritan to answer the lawyer's question in verse 29. Who is my neighbor? The lawyer had come to the realization, just like all men, just like you and I, we all have to come to the conclusion that we cannot be justified by the law. And that the lawyer's justification had to come through some other means. Our justification has to come through some other means. Indeed, some other person, a mediator, Savior. And we know that that is Jesus Christ Himself. We might use Paul's statement in Galatians 2:16 to express the conclusion that all men ought to draw from the parable of the Good Samaritan. That is, quote, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. It can't be any clearer than that. And yet there are so many people running around trying to justify themselves by the what? The law. By their good works. No man will be justified before a holy God by the works of the law. By any works. And so, let us also confess with sincere hearts that it is forever impossible for us, by our own actions, to fulfill the demands of God's law. And then according to the grace of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, put our trust in Christ alone, who is our righteousness, who is our justification before God. So that in doing so, we might inherit eternal life. Not according to the works of the law, but according to promise, which was given to Abraham and made effective through the death of Jesus Christ. And then from grateful hearts for the free gift of salvation because of Christ's merits on the cross, let us now live a life guided by His Word and empowered by His Holy Spirit, glorifying God. That is, while on this earth we can't love God and our neighbor perfectly, as we have learned from the parable of the Good Samaritan, yet in principle we are able, by the grace of God, to begin to live in accordance with His law, the law of love. To love God with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Just as the Apostle Paul admonishes us to do in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Let us not forget what we are taught in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 115, where we are taught the reason we are to keep the commandments of the law, though we are by grace alone, through faith alone, justified before God, through Christ Jesus. We read there in question, or the answer to question number 115. It says, first, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing, we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be renewed more and more after the image of God, until we attain the goal of perfection after this life. That's why we keep the law. That's why we ought to be diligent in doing so. Beloved in the Lord, let us this week, as we ponder what we have learned from the parable of the Good Samaritan, consider this closing thought by Hendrickson. Quote, does not the very fact that Jesus created and told this parable show, A, what kind of Savior He is? Isn't He that Good Samaritan? He died for us, though we were His enemies. That was certainly the demonstration of the love of God toward us, His elect. And then B, what kind of people He wants us to be. He wants us to be that Good Samaritan. What would you do if you came across a man lying in the road, a man who was in an accident, and you realize this guy is an imam in the Islam religion, He's a hated enemy of Jesus Christ. And therefore, that makes him our enemy. Do you pass by on the other side of the road? Or do you have compassion on him and give him aid? We are not like those who seek to kill us just because we're Christians. They aren't our example. Jesus Christ is, who died on the cross, though we were his enemies. So, beloved, let us have compassion and let us show mercy. When the Lord has put in your path someone in need, ask yourself, what would I want someone to do for me if I were in that situation? And may God grant us grace to go and do likewise to His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, You have taught us through the parable of the Good Samaritan what kind of people we ought to be. You've taught us what kind of person You are. And let this ring true in our hearts, that not only that we love You with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, but that we also love our neighbor as ourselves. Give us hearts of compassion, O Lord. Forgive us when we fall short for the sake of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, not looking to these works for our own justification, but Lord, looking to Christ, that with thankful hearts we do these things because of the great work of Christ on the cross on our behalf. And so, Lord, we ask as we leave here that You would fill our hearts with Your Spirit, fill our hearts with that love for You and love for one another. Guide us and direct us this week by Your Word and by Your Spirit. Grant us grace. And we pray all these things in Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen and amen.